what are we going to do tomorrow other than, is it regular schedule? Because if we have something else going on, then it supersedes me being here to teach on Sunday mornings. If we have a guest speaker like last week and so on, and sometimes on special, what do we call them, the fifth Sunday, the Jubilee Sunday, usually pastor preaches then. But he said, no, you're on schedule. And so here I am, and we'll share with you a little bit about from the Word of God, and hopefully you'll receive something from God's Word today. Our lesson setting this morning is simply called The Head of the Body. The Head of the Body. And there's some very valuable truths that can be learned about knowing about the head. Colossians 1 and 18, the Bible says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have preeminence. And then in Colossians 1 and 15, the Bible says, is speaking of Jesus, it said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And this is very key for us to understand who God is. For by him, talking about Jesus Christ, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him are all things consist. And he is the head of the body, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus Christ, that all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether it be things on earth or things in heaven. Let me just mention concerning our heart, our head, our hands, and our heart. We learn early to express our emotions with our hands. We clap our hands, we raise our hands, we pump our fist. A lot of our emotions are expressed with our hands. Babies learn very young age. One of my favorite little captions that I still have in my phone is when one of these little ones up here, Gianna, was 2 years old. She had a little birthday cake in front of her. She was sitting there, and we have a video of it. And when everybody else would start clapping, she suddenly would just clap her hands, and it was so darling and so cute. They learn very young at age to clap their hands, express with their hands. It's just kind of a natural response. And with anger, we also use our hands, hopefully not too forcibly. But our hands speak volumes. Even though you can slap your hand down, you can clench your fist, there's an expression that comes. But all of that is prerequisite to all of that is something has to happen up here. Because every signal that every time our hands do whatever they do, our brain, our head, first had to think those, and it had to respond. And how someone can think that the world just came into existence with a big bang is beyond me when you think about the intricate way the body is made. There are hundreds of miles of blood vessels in the human body. And there's a heart that pumps the blood through all those veins to make everything work. And how it can happen, but first of all, the brain has to think it. And then our hands move, our fingers move, commands go throughout all of our body. We take it for granted. But if you stop and think about it, if you I'm wiggling my big toe right now because a little thought came in my head about controlling the extremities of my body. And I can wiggle my pinky or my pointer or whatever, but first it has to come through the head. Everything happens to the head. In fact, if you take the head off, the body dies. The body becomes limp. The body has no command center. And Jesus Christ is the head of it all. And if we have Him in our life, we are His fingers, His toes, His hands, His voice. Everything that we do for God comes through the head, and He is the head. Our hands often express actions that are coming from our heart. Our head, it's just like, well, I want to hug him or hug her. And first it happens up here, and then our body responds, and we can do various things. As members of the body of Christ, we minister to others with our hands. We lay our hands on someone's shoulder, someone's head, and we pray for them. We may pat them on the back. We give them the hand of fellowship. And all of that happens, first of all, in our head. Colossians says that throughout all the large lordship is through Jesus Christ. And we have to submit to His authority and His leadership. And when we do that, we become a functioning body. What happens very sadly at times, if there is a brain malfunction with someone, they have a brain injury or an aneurysm or a stroke or whatever, where part of the functions of the brain, then someone can lose the entire left side or right side of their body in a stroke because part of the head lost control of the body. I learned a number of years ago when I had back surgery that there's the vertebrates that come down and they're close to each other but not touching each other. But if they get where they're pinching each other, they pinch a nerve. And when they pinch that nerve affects a certain part of the body. And I had an amazing experience when I was having a lot of pain in my left hip and in my right leg and had numbness going and it down the inside of my right leg all the way down to my toes. And I finally dealt with it for 2 or 3 years and finally I went to a neurologist and they sent me for an MRI and when the neurologist got the results of the MRI, he said, "You need to see a back surgeon." I said, "I don't know. I'm not really ready for that." And he said, "Well, you should see one just in case you get to the point that you need it. You already have a relationship with someone." So I went to see Dr. Fang, and he had never seen me before. I hadn't talked to him, but they had me bring the little disc, an MRI, from my MRI test, bring it with me. I gave it to him. They put me in a room. He comes in. He takes a disc. He puts it in the computer right in front of me. He looks at it for just a little bit, and he said, "Well, let me tell you what's going on. You've got pain in your right hip, numbness that goes down your right leg, and it jumps to the inside, and it goes all the way down to your toes." Thinking, how in the world did he know that? Because there was one little nerve that the vertebrate was ruptured, and it was pinching on that one nerve, and that nerve controls certain functions of the body. And he explained to me that the vertebrate is like there's little nerves that comes out between each vertebrate. And every one of those nerves has a particular function. So when he saw where the pinch was at, he could tell exactly what was going on in my body. The body is an amazing, amazing, amazing thing. And we take it for granted on a daily basis, the functions and so on. But just a little pinched nerve or a little restricted blood vessel or whatever can affect somewhere in the rest of the body. But it all happens in the head. And every function that we have in the entire body has to come through the head. And when you get a body that is operating at 100%, the head and its communication to the body becomes complete and 100%, then you have full capacity and full possibilities become reality when the head and the body are connected appropriately. I heard a great message many years ago about the head and the body and it's properly being connected. And when the head and the body get severed, something takes away the head being connected to the body, maybe by a spinal cord or an injury of some kind, everything is lost. Many of you, not many of you, because many of you weren't around that long, but some of you that's been around for a long time will remember way back many years ago, a young man named Ishmael Cuellar was on a bicycle, and he was following his brother on a paper route. And right up the road up here, I think on Bardsley, he got hit by a car. I was called to the hospital, and he had no really bad abrasions. He'd kind of been, they thought, maybe knocked unconscious for a moment, but they had him, and they had x-rayed, and they didn't find any broken bones, and everything seemed to be fine. And then I checked on them the next day, and they said, oh, he's been moved from the hospital here. They found something new, and moved to Fresno to a hospital. And Ishmael Cuellar, somehow in that accident, his spinal cord was injured. And he became paralyzed from his neck down. And he ended up being in a wheelchair, and he could operate it with his mouth. But because his entire body lost, it was set, the connection between the head and the body was severed. And he lost all of his communication from his head to his body. Very, very sad. But it's very much the same in our relationship with God. If you are connected to God, if the head is connected to the body, you can function the way that God has designed you to function. But if you allow sin or neglect or whatever to pinch off a nerve or plug up a blood vessel or stop some of the head's communication to the body, the body then loses its direction and doesn't operate the way God has designed it to operate. And it can have all kinds of adverse circumstances and situations in the body. As part of God's plan, he allowed humans and their wills to make certain decisions. But ultimately, he is in control. I tell people real often in conversations that you know, because the question arises, why do bad things happen to good people? Why does, tragedy comes to one and maybe another one escapes? God allows us to make choices. God isn't going around when someone does wrong, go bzzz and zap somebody. Those days are over. There was a day that God, judgment from God could be immediate. If you were disobedient to your parents, you were taken outside the city and stoned. There were times that when someone would rise up against godly leadership, and one example was Moses' sister, and she pointed her finger at her spiritual leader that God had chosen leader. She pointed her finger at him to make accusation about you take too much authority on yourself, and her arm just withered up with leprosy. And it wasn't until her spiritual leader, which happened to be her brother at the time, prayed for and asked God for healing that God restored her arm. There was a time that God instantly could pass out judgment. But we live in the dispensation of grace where the Bible says man is given space to repent. We're given opportunity. The Bible says because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of men are sent to continually do evil. What that is saying is sometimes because God doesn't judge us immediately when we do wrong, we think, ha ha, see there I got by. And then a little simple illustration that I heard one time that I think is relevant. Sometimes someone will say, shake their fists at the heavens and say, well, if there is a God, let him strike me dead. see, there's no God. Nobody struck me dead. And somebody explained it this way. It's like a little sugar ant. That's those little teeny, teeny, teeny ants. He crawls up on the railroad tracks, stands on the tracks and stands up on his hind legs and says, if there's a locomotive in the world, let him run me over. See, no locomotive's coming. He hops down off the tracks. He says, I just proved there is no locomotive. Well, who's going to dispatch a locomotive to come and run over a little sugar ant? Why would God dispatch his angels to come and strike down some, I'm trying to clean up my words right now, but I was thinking about saying some idiot that wants to shake his fans at the, I won't say it, but that's what I was thinking. Shaking his fist at the skies and saying, let him strike me dead. We live in the dispensation of grace where we are given opportunities to make choices in our life. God could, but he don't. He doesn't choose to make your daily choices for you. You can choose good or bad, right or left, north or south. He gives you that opportunity. And judgment about your choices, there will be a judgment day. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There will be a judgment day. There will be a day that you will reap according to what you have sown. The beautiful part of that prophetic word and that truth is that that works for the good as well as the bad. Sometimes we think, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that he's going to reap. You're going to reap what you sow. That's true if it's bad, but it's also true if you do good. If you live your life according to the head, and you take your signals, and you get that, and you do what God has bidded you to do, there are rewards and rewards and more rewards are going to come from making the right choices, but the choice still belongs to you and I. God doesn't force us. Sometimes people say, well, you know, God is totally in control. And you know, when things happen, you know, it's like God took my baby. No, God didn't take your baby. If your baby happened to die, or God took my brother, or, you know, I've heard people say things that it may sound good. And if you're in the midst of sorrow and it makes you feel better, go ahead. But, oh, well, God wanted him more than we did, so he took him home to glory. That might make you feel better for the moment, but God isn't around taking people. Time and chance happeneth to all men. Sometimes someone may be 101 years old and have smoked for 90 years and say, see there, you know, where someone else barely smoked a little bit and ended up with lung cancer. I don't know exactly how everything works. I know I lost my own father when he was only 57 years old. And he was a godly man, a Bible-loving, prayerful man, a great man of ethics and character. But he died at a very early age. Well, God didn't take my father. Time and chance. For one thing, my father came from a family. There was a lot of heart disease. He had one brother and two sisters all died of heart disease. It was in his gene pool. And he died at a very young age. And there were other circumstances. He had plugged arteries in his heart that would be very easy to fix in today's medical world. And even in his world, it could have been fixed and he could have lived perhaps decades longer. But he was popping Rolaids thinking he was having indigestion when he was having warning heart attacks. That's what they later told him was happening. Circumstances. You know, you say, well, God knows exactly when your time to come. It's your time to go. Well, you can't do anything about it. God doesn't have anything to do with that. You can accelerate your time to go. If you try to take a 30-mile-an-hour curve at 60 miles an hour, you're probably going to go off the cliff. And was it God's time for you to go? No, it was your ignorant driving. And you're thinking you could live the way you wanted and do your own thing and defy the laws of gravity and inertia, that you can accelerate your time to go. It reminds me of the story of the old country boy that was working for the big farm and big company, and but he was a God-fearing man, and he loved God, and everybody knew that he was a great godly man, and the owner of the company got him a new airplane, and they asked, Hillbilly Joe, if he was going to go up for a ride in the airplane. And he said, oh, no, you won't catch me up there in that thing. He said, I don't trust that. It might crash. And they said, well, don't you believe that when it's your time to go, you're going to go? And he said, yes, I believe when it's my time to go, I'm going to go. And he said, well, what are you worried about then if it's not your time to go? He said, well, I'm afraid I'd get up there in that airplane and it becomes the pilot's time to go. And all those things kind of, make us stop and think for a little bit. But in actuality, we make choices, and we receive the results of our choices. You show me someone that has served God faithfully through the years, and I'll show you someone who is blessed. You show me someone that is in and out, up and down, and all around throughout their life, and they were struggling 50 years ago or 20 years ago, whatever it was, or they were struggling 10 years ago, and they were struggling 5 years ago, and they're still struggling today because it's never clicked up here that I'm going to connect myself to the head, to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to get my body in a functioning position that I fulfill the commands of the head, and therefore it brings the blessings of God into my life and upon me on a daily basis. They sang about it this morning, but God is omnipresent, which simply means that he is everywhere. God is omniscient, which means that he knows it all. He's all-knowing, and he's omnipotent, be careful how you say that one, which means he has all power. God is all of that and more. And we are the beneficiary of all those things if we're connected with the head into us. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. The Word is not a separate person or a separate God. There are some theologies in the world today and some religions in the world today. It doesn't come from Scripture. It doesn't come from the Word of God. It comes from man-made religions that say there's three separate persons in the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And first of all, God is not a person, never was a person, never will be a person. The Holy Ghost is not a person, never was, and never will be. I often explain it this way. We as mortals kind of want to see things, and so if you want to see a ghost, if you go to Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm, or it's been many years since I've been to those places, but I do remember times going through there, whether through the haunted house or through the Pirate's Cove or whatever it was that they had, that to depict a ghost, they had these like sheet-like things that were kind of made into a form of a human a little bit, and they were strung across the room with a strobe light going. And so, ooh, look at them ghosts. It's because you can't see a spirit. You can't see a ghost. And so because of our need to see it with our own eyes, they try to depict something that gives you the thought of a ghost flying through the air. God is not a ghost, but God is a spirit, and you cannot see a spirit. And a spirit, the Bible says, has no flesh and bones. So God is not a person, never has been a person. The Holy Ghost is not a person, never has been a person. The only person you'll ever know of God is in the flesh of Jesus Christ. When they say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, God the Son is not a biblical word, and it's not a correct word, because the Son was not God. The Son was humanity. The beauty of understanding who Jesus Christ is, as the Scripture says, back in the beginning, he was. God made himself a human body, came and dwelt among men. That human body lived for 33 years and enjoyed the benefits of earth and learned to know the hurts and the feelings of mankind on earth. And at 33 years approximately of age, he died. The flesh died. God didn't die on the cross. Humanity died on the cross. The only person in the Godhead, which is in the flesh of Jesus Christ, died at the cross. And the Bible says God went and the Spirit left him, went and preached the spirits in prison. 3 days later, God came back, went into that body. The body rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And Jesus said, I'm going to leave, but I won't leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. He left. And what happened? At the appointed time, he came back, now no longer in flesh or human form. He came as the indwelling Spirit. It wasn't another person. When I say I have God in my heart, I don't have another person in my heart. When I say I have Jesus in my life, or I have the Holy Ghost in me, it's not a person. It's not a human form living in me. It's the Spirit of God. And when I cry, Jesus, help me, I get the advantage of having God and the Holy Ghost and Jesus and all the other things, the provider, the healer, and all the other names of God, all in one package comes. I don't have to worry about I'm praying for, praying and I pray to Jesus and think, oh yes, and you too, God, and okay, yes, and you too, Holy Ghost. I can say, Holy Ghost, help me, or Jesus, help me, or Father, help me, or help me, God. And all I get it all in one package, because he is one package. There is one God, and he has filled all of the universe with himself. And I'm glad today to know that when I'm connected to the head, and my body is functioning according to the head, I don't have three heads, because three heads is a freak. I have one head. And I'm thankful that when we're connected to him, we can enjoy his blessings. The Bible says, and the Word. First of it says, we just read it, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then the Bible goes on to say, and the Word was made flesh. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Humanity, we are blessed when God became man. He learned the needs of mankind. Many years ago, famous in her day gospel songwriter named Dottie Rambo wrote a lot of songs. But one of them she wrote about, she said, God, how would you know? This is before Jesus Christ revealed. How would you know how I feel? You've never felt pain because God is a spirit. You've never been lonely. You've never been grossly disappointed. And you go down all the lists of humanity. And what could God say? And so God became a man. And the Bible says, when Jesus Christ was at the tomb of Lazarus, the shortest scripture in the Bible says Jesus wept. He had a friend, a close friend that died, and Jesus wept. He felt the pain when he was rejected from his growing up. He was just an illegitimate child from Nazareth, the son of a carpenter. And then when he began his ministry, they hated him. And the very people that he had healed the sick and raised the dead and opened blind eyes and made cripples ready to walk. And those same people were in the crowd that's going to be depicted here in a few days. The same people that had all those blessings, they were crying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Can you imagine the hurt and the pain? I mean, the nails hurt. And his hands and his feet, the crown on his head crushed down upon him. It hurt. When they stuck him in the side with a spear, that hurt. But it's often been said, and I think it could rationally be understood that Jesus didn't die on the cross from the nails in his hands and his feet. The thrust in his side did not kill him. The crown of thorns did not kill him. It was not customary for them to leave someone hanging in the torturous position of hanging on a cross over the Sabbath day, a special day. And they knew that they wouldn't be dead because they would live for days hanging on the cross like that. And so they came to break their legs and to cause trauma to the body to accelerate his death. But like had been prophesied, when they came to Jesus to break his legs or to do whatever they needed to do to accelerate his death, he was already dead. And again, I say he wasn't dead because of the loss of blood. He wasn't dead because of his nails in his feet and his hands and the crown on his head, the whipping on his back. But a lot of folks have said it, and I think it could be rationally believed that he carried the weight of the world, and not only the weight of the world, the very ones that he had loved and served and healed their sick and raised their dead and cripples to walk and blind eyes could see were in the crowd crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And though he had a forgiving spirit and said, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." And he forgave the thief on the cross alongside of him. The weight of all of this added to the excruciating agony and pain that accelerated his death. And as had been prophesied, none of his bones were to be broken. His bones did not have to be broken. But he carried the weight of the world upon his head. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. The Bible says he is the image of the invisible God. God that you cannot see. The only thing visible that will ever be about God is the sonship. When someone says God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, there is nowhere in Scripture you'll ever find the term God the Son, because God the Son was not God. The Son was humanity. The Son was 100% humanity. As man, he got hungry, but as God, he fed the multitudes. As man, he became sleepy, but as God, he stepped on deck of the ship and said, "Peace, be still," to the winds and the waves. The list goes on and on and on of the difference between him being God and man. But God lived in the robes of humanity, and now he came to know the feeling of heartbreak, the feeling of pain. He came to know the feeling of rejection. And now we understand that, as the scripture says, he was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because he's felt pain. He's felt loss. He's lost a loved one and a family. He's been rejected by someone that he had been kind to. Those are feelings we all have shared. But he's already been there and done that and provided for us a way to make it through. Since he created everything, he has authority over everything. Said concerning Jesus that all things were made by him, and not one thing was made that he didn't make. And we understand that. It's not confusing to someone who really knows who Jesus Christ is. It wasn't one God competing against another God. But it is one God that has created it all and done it all. I'm teaching a series of lessons at Corcoran Prison right now, and we've been talking a lot in the last few days about in the beginning. I'm starting on a search for truth and going through the Bible and the different books of the Bible and the things that are coming, and to understand that God provides for you and I his blessings, his anointing, his healing, his virtue comes to us in a very beautiful way. And all things that were created by him, he flung the worlds into existence. And then that same God that flung the worlds into existence could be indwelling in a human body. And then from that human body, from that perspective, he began to understand the needs and the frailties and the pains of humankind. So now he has been there where we were at. He blessed everything and he multiplied everything. It was this same God that was the creator that could take mud and put it on someone's eyes and create new eyes for a blind man. The devils became powerless and they became subject to him because he was not just Mary's baby. He was not just a child that was born. He was not just a prophet, but he was the one that could not only say, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," but he could say, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And it's noteworthy to note that the people in his day said he speaks blaspheme because he that is a man proclaims himself to be God, because who can forgive sins but God only? He perceived their thoughts. And he said, "Well, would it be better for to say, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee,' or that they could know that he was God?" He said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And a man who could not walk suddenly became well and walked. Not only were all these things created by him, but all things were created for him. He receives glory from all of his creation. The beauty of the earth, the majesty, brings glory to God. The branches of the trees clap themselves together and bring glory to God. The birds that sing and the animals that roam the forest all speaks of the glory of God. The rushing streams, the waterfalls. If you've ever been and seen the majestic falls that come at Yosemite or various places in our world, it all speaks of the glory of God. The winds that sigh and the majestic mountains, the crashing waves, the seashore, all add their voices to the symphony of praises unto God. The very birth of the church at Pentecost until today brings glory and honor and worship to the God that we serve. The scripture says in Psalms 139 and 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Something ought to come out of our hearts, and we ought to be able to stop once in a while and realize that all the blessings of God that I have, my health that I share, and we've celebrated today with Sister Abbott in her 70th birthday, and I've said it before, and she's caught up with me now in that thought, that I've already lived my 70 years, so now I'm on bonus time. I'm living on blessings. I'm living on the blessings of God. And none of us have a promise of tomorrow. So in essence, all of us are living just simply on the grace of God and the blessings of God that come into our lives. Jesus is the head of the church, and we are his body. And to properly function, we as members must be connected to the head. For you to be a functioning part of the family of God, you've got to be connected. The human body cannot function without the heart pumping throughout our entire body. We've got to be connected to receive the life-giving power. And we've got to be connected to that head to have the life-giving Holy Spirit that flows through us and gives us what we must have and is desperately need today. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy," or without argument, "great is the mystery of godliness." You know, it's amazing sometimes when you see people that are contaminated by man's philosophy. Because man's philosophies, his traditions of men, are very, very strong and very binding. "Well, my grandmother, she did it this way, and if there was ever a godly woman, my grandmother was." Well, we're not here to judge your grandma. And you're not going to stand before grandma when you stand before God. You're going to give an account to the Word of God. And nobody wants to speak disparaging of someone that didn't know or didn't receive the full truth. But what we want to do is we want to receive the Holy Ghost that's given and to lead and guide us into all truths. I don't want to stop at where grandma stopped. Or I don't want to be limited because my personal choice of my church don't believe that or they don't stand for that. But I want to open up my heart as I open up the Bible and receive the power and the blessings of the Holy Ghost come into our life. Because without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Who was? God was. The Spirit of God manifests itself. Manifest means to reveal or to show forth. God was manifest in the flesh. We know who the flesh was. He was born. They said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." The name of God was revealed when Jesus Christ's name was given unto us. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was justified in the flesh, manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world and received up into glory. Who was? God was. God was manifest in the flesh. God preached to the Gentiles. God was received up into glory. How do we see that? How do we understand that? We understand that the same God that we're talking about is the one that flung the world into existence. And I liked what I heard many years ago. I believe it was Brother Murray Lane that said it. That said, when Jesus stepped out on deck of the ship and said, "Peace be still." He said in a great message he preached one time, he said, "And the east wind said to the north wind, ah, I've heard that voice before." That's the voice that said, "West wind blow, north wind blow, south wind blow, east wind blow." And now that same voice coming from the Spirit of God says, "Peace be still." And the Bible says immediately there was a great calm. The same voice that flung the worlds into existence. The same voice that said, "You can kill a lamb, a pigeon, bullock, turtle dove, and shed its blood for the temporary forgiveness of your sin." That same one could say, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." The same one that flung the worlds into existence could say to someone on a neighboring cross, "Today, you're going to be with me in paradise." How could he say that? Because he wasn't speaking as the flesh. He wasn't speaking as humanity. But now he's speaking with authority of the God that he was. The Spirit of God says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Rise, take up thy bed and walk." God was manifest in the flesh. Corinthians 1 and 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we all speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." That God asked this body to be fitly joined together, become a functioning body. And if we're all connected to the same head, then we flow together. Teaching just recently at the prison, talking about the head that speaks to us and gives direction to all of us. My 72 years came into effect, and it'll come back here in a minute. It's got to make a full circle. But understanding what I'm trying to get across to us today is if our head is connected to the body. And the head that we have, it speaks to the left hand and the right hand, the right leg and the left leg. And when it's all coordinated together, what I can do with one hand, it's kind of like the Bible talks about if two can put 1,000 to flight, or if one can put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000 to flight. And I'll close with the thought of I saw this actually displayed with one horse that could pull a weighted wagon to a certain point. And I wish I had the exact figures. I don't, but you'll just have to imagine with me. But a two-horse carriage doesn't just double their ability, but it was like sometimes something like 10 times more effective. Two horses could be over one horse. That their combined power, they could pull the load that didn't just double their ability, but the power of working together. When the body of Christ gets all of its members working, the right hand, the left hand, whatever. I have used the illustration just to illustrate a message before about four people working together. You get four people on a stretcher carrying someone. And I did it one time here in front of the church. I had instructed one of the four, when they're walking along, just to suddenly let go of his. Poor guy on the stretcher didn't know my illustration either. And so they're all four walking along and somebody's on the stretcher. And one person just at a certain time when he got about right in front, he just let go. And what he did, it capsized the entire load. And the patient was dumped on the floor. And the other three were like, what just happened? What happened is somebody wasn't functioning, wasn't connected to the head. Somebody wasn't carrying their part of the load. When the fingers and the toes and the ears and those uncomely members, the heart and the liver and the kidneys and everything about the body is functioning properly, we're strong and we're healthy and we can do amazing things. But you get just one little part of the body start to misfunction. And sometimes it can shut down the entire body. Praise God. Let's stand. God bless you. So glad everybody's here. Happy, happy, happy birthday to Sister Abbott. And thank you for being a part today.
Lead me, Lord. I will go. You have called. I will answer, lead me, Lord, I will go.
Lead me, Lord, let me be connected to the head.
Lead me, Lord, I will follow.
The head is spoken.
And I'm gonna answer. Lead me, Lord. I will
sing it one more time.
Oh, lead me, Lord.
Hallelujah. We've got a few minutes. Why don't we step out of our pew? Why don't we line this front? There's a God that has provided a way out. There's a God that has provided to reign in your life. And it happens right here. The Creator of the world came to give His life for creation, that He'd be the head of this body. Oh, would you lift your voice all across the building? Let this be a prayer. Let this be a request. God, lead, I'll follow. I need you in my life. I want you in my home. I want you in my relationships, God. I can't function without you. I can't go through life without you. I need you the center of my life. Hallelujah. Come on, He's your way out. He's your solution. He's your remedy. He'll be the head of your body. I love you today, God. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for direction in my life. I can't function without you. I love you today, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you. One more time, sing to the Lord. All I have, all I possess, it's because of you, God. I bless your name. I bless your name, God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Greatest thing about this life is you've got a God that you could turn to. You've got a God that can help you. He's a gentleman, and he'll never kick down your door. He'll never come in uninvited. But if you'll open up your heart, you say, God, I need you in my life. I need to function right, and I need you to be the head of this body, because I'm going to tell you what we have right here, this isn't yours. This is on loan. He said, you are the temple of God. You are his dwelling place. Because of that cross, he's come in. And if you allow him in, he'll help your home. He'll help your marriage. He'll help your kids. He'll help everything in life. He's your way out. Amen. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord today? Amen. Why don't you find two or three people, love on somebody. God bless you. Make sure you're here tonight. 5:30 prayer, 6 o'clock evangelistic service. We're going to hear a message on the other side of the cross. Make sure you're here tonight. God bless you. You're just